Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
After a car crash in May 2024, Rory Motherway suffered permanent spinal cord damage. The life-changing injuries have resulted in him now having paraplegia, paralysis of his lower limbs, and being a full-time wheelchair user. As a lifelong sport enthusiast, while Rory came to terms with his condition, he also needed to get back on a team. That's where Rebel Wheelers in Cork came to the rescue. Rory joins me now in studio. Hey, Rory.
Hey, Dermot. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making the trip up from the Rebel County.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah? You stayed in Dublin overnight?
Yeah. Great to be here. Early start, so.
I know you were excited to stay in the same hotel as the Cork Hurlers stay before the All-Ireland.
Yeah, I was saying to my father, we were there in 2013 and... Yeah, we were a bit happier this morning than we were there that night. But fond memories of my brother getting a slitter from a match ball there. So,
how did he manage that?
Just knows his way into everything.
Was it hit into the crowd and he managed to catch it?
It was just a match ball given to him by one of the players afterwards.
So, okay, great.
Still in his locker at home, treasured, I'd say.
So, yeah, good. I'm glad he got it that way because there's a lot of incidents. Around at the moment of particularly American baseball games of people catching a ball and then some Maggio coming up and ripping it out of a kid's hand. So tell us about before we get into the details of all your experiences, how are the Rebel Wheelers doing at the moment?
Great. So it's kind of the pre-season, I suppose. You know, the league doesn't start. The cup starts first. It's the first match, the quarterfinals, National Cup. And then we start the league format. So that'll start start of October. So we're just training away. We train twice a week, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Sunday mornings then when it gets busier. Maybe your matches might be Sundays as well. But, you know, it's kind of just kicking off, you know. And I suppose I'm kind of very new to it as well. So it's only going to be my second year as well. You know, last year was kind of just getting used to it and getting to know the lads and getting to know the sport. And this year, I suppose, I'm ready to give it a proper crack, you know.
I want to talk to you about the relationship you have with the other players. But do you mind if we get into the accident and how it happened? Because you say it's, you know, the Rebel Wheelers experience is new to you. There's a lot that is new to you over the last couple of years. So take us through what happened.
So I suppose 20th of May. I was on my way to a junior football match and I was very sick on the day and I was supposed to be playing the match. My two brothers were playing and I decided I didn't travel with them and, you know, declined the spin for my father and ended up driving that to the match myself and on the way I...
So at home you had said you're too sick to play but you're lying there in bed thinking the brothers are out there now.
Yeah, I know.
I'd rather than be just lying here staring at the ceiling I'll go down and run around.
Yeah, so at about, I suppose, 5 to 8 I got in the car and headed down to Killarney, the famous park of Canada, and on the way I must have passed out or, you know, I just... Behind the wheel, I fell asleep or passed out and I collided with a wall. So since then, I suppose it's all been up in the air.
And what do you remember of the accident itself?
Not a whole pile, you know, beforehand. It's all kind of all a blur. And it's been a bit of a, first couple of weeks after that were a bit of a blur, you know, and just everything was going, you know, so much happening at once and so much, you know, you're kind of, just put your faith in the trust of the doctors and all the nursing staff and, you know, and just, there wasn't really time to make decisions. It was just happening for you, you know, whether you like to do
that. Do you remember being taken away from the scene of the crash or any of that, the ambulance or emergency services, any of that stuff?
Vague memories, you know. I do remember seeing my mother at the door of the ambulance and kind of waving at me and, you know, I remember my father coming on the scene right as well. And it was kind of like, is this really happening? You know, it was kind of a bit surreal, you know, and it hasn't set in really yet even. I don't know if it ever set in, but like it's...
But you go into another space, don't you, when that happens to you? It's not quite a dream. It's not quite reality. It's sort of somewhere in between.
Yeah, you know, and just kept kind of telling myself like, oh, it'll be, you know, over soon or just, like, you know, kind of hear the sirens in the distance and kind of looking up at the sky, and I'm like, what is after happening at all? And, you know.
And were you aware that something was majorly wrong?
Yeah, kind of, to be honest, you know, like straight away. Just couldn't feel my legs.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like, oh, like, what's going on? And I suppose I was in so much other pain with my back, and my, you know, my insides were kind of a bit ripped apart, and I'd broke my clavicle. So there's a couple of other things going on, and there's just so much pain. And but kind of knew from there that I couldn't move my legs, and, you know, something was obviously majorly wrong.
Mm.
And then from there, then I was brought to CUH, and I was told I needed to get emergency surgery in the matter. So overnight ambulance, and there was surgery done to repair my duodenum, you know, just between the intestine and the stomach, just ripped kind of apart. And, you know, the seatbelt was my saviour, and it was also the thing that inflicted all the damage, you know.
To
agree with some of it, if I hadn't worn a seatbelt, I would have been straight out the windscreen, you know. But if I, thanks to it, you know, all the injuries were from my clavicle and then across my body. And then we'll say your lap belt was where my spine, I suppose, broke.
Ah, okay. You mentioned your parents. I know your dad's here with you today. How were they? Were you conscious of how they were reacting, even though you were in the middle of all of it yourself?
I suppose they saw a different side to it, you know, that I saw, and kind of only coming around to knowing about what was going on at home, you know, because I suppose no one wants to get a phone call, you know, at 8:05 on a Monday night that, you know, that your son has been involved in a road traffic accident, and it's fairly bad, you know.
What age are you?
I'm 20 now, so I was 19.
Do you think it was the flu that you had that caused you to black out, or whatever happened on that day?
Yeah, I don't know for certain. I suppose I'll never know. It's kind of where you are now, and you just go from there. So
yeah, you seem like, I mean, nobody knows how they're going to react when they're handed a situation like this. You seem, from the moment I met you outside a few minutes ago,
you
get a vibe from you that you're a very positive, present thinking person. Now, I've only just met you, so maybe I'm talking complete baloney and it's been different for you and your family, but that's the impression I get from you, that you're very solid and grounded in now.
Yeah, I try to keep it that way. You know, just take us like literally day by day, I suppose. And I suppose you're learning every day, you know. Definitely from the very start, like, everything was new and relearning a lot of new things again. But
what's been the major challenges for you, for sort of physical, mental? What's been tough?
I suppose regaining independence, you know. You know, from the outside, I suppose I would have known, you know, other wheelchair users or other people who had become paralysed before, and, you know, maybe I was a bit ignorant to them before, but, like, you know, you might see a person in a wheelchair and you might think that, you know, they just can't walk, or, you know, but there's a whole other side to it, you know, of just simple things, you know, like even access to places and access to things. And, you know, you have to really, I wasn't going to say stand up, but, like, you know, you just stand out, like, you have to really let your voice be heard, you know. And that's probably something that I, you know, not struggle with, but, like,
not used to.
Yeah, not used to. You know, I kind of just would go with the flow, and, you know, if there's something wasn't right before, you know, like, oh, that's grand, it's grand. But now, you know, you need to start getting your voice out, and if, you know, places have steps, or if the places you can't get into, you know, or parking spaces that aren't right, you need to be letting people know. And
does that surprise you how inaccessible a lot of places are in this day and age?
I suppose places are getting better, you know, and that's good to see, you know, and places definitely want to, you know, once they're changed, you know, all it takes is one person to make the change, and once they're changed, then they're good, like, you know. And this idea that of, it's a universal design that they're trying to, you know, bring in and promote in every new building, is that if it's good for a wheelchair user, it's good for anyone, you know, and it's not going to impair anyone to walk up if it's a ramp instead of steps, you know. And sometimes there's pointless steps, which, you know, might stop a wheelchair user from coming into a building. And, you know, so, like...
And how has the mental game been for you?
You know, it's pretty good, I suppose. I've surrounded well at home and my family and my community, like, you know.
Did you have to make adjustments to home?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely big adjustments. You know, the home wasn't very accessible at all, really. You know, there was kind of steps here and there and the ground floor was kind of split level. And, you know, the yard was kind of an old yard. So, but thankfully, there was a big fundraiser at the time and the whole community in Cork and East Cork area kind of pooled together and there was a lot of funds raised and that all went towards, doing up the house. And, you know, there was a big cost into just little things, like even like we had to install a kind of a stair lift just between, let's say, the kitchen area and living area and my bedroom, you know, and there's a cost to that and there's a whole cost to kind of making the bedroom and things, you know, accessible again.
And with the community coming together, you know, obviously it was your connections to the locality. You and your parents, Coleman and is it Ina or Ina?
Ina, yeah.
Coleman and Ina, you must have all been very aware suddenly of the power of community and people rooting for you.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling to be the person who people are raising funds for, you know, and it's still hard to grasp the idea that much people came together, you know, for me, like, you know.
And how have your brothers, Barry and Dara and your sister Orla, how have they been with you? Are they slagging you or, you know, treating you any differently?
Yeah, they come around again. You know, it's just still the same Rory, you know, at the end of the day. And I suppose people realise that, you know, after first time maybe seeing me again after a while, you know, can be shocked that, you know, he's in the chair and, you know, maybe I suppose physically he might, you know, be smaller in the chair, look different. But, you know, after talking to me for maybe a couple of minutes, you realise that still the same person, you know, still the same person to chat to and sitting down, you know, across from the table for someone, it would be like he was, you know, two years ago. So,
in terms of the rehab, I always imagined that your upper body, there's a whole lot of strain on that now. I can tell by the size of your biceps, you're no stranger to working out. In terms of that, you know, sometimes I guess if we're trying to compensate for one area, we get pains in another area. What's that experience been like in terms of the rehab and in terms of then putting that pressure on your upper body?
Yeah, you suppose you rely a lot more on your shoulders. You know, so everyday tasks, your shoulders are working three times as hard now, you know, and they're kind of doing what they weren't supposed to be doing, you know, like you're not supposed to be lifting your body weight from, you know, 10 times a day, whether you're getting in and out of the car or, you know, getting onto the bed or into the chair or out of the bed, you know, there's so much transfers and there's a lot that goes into minding them because, you know, you can imagine if you mess up your shoulders at a young age, you know, you're going to have problems when you get older. So it's good to keep them healthy and good to, you know, there's a lot of stretching and a lot of things going on with them. Yeah. Well, so.
We were chatting about the community there. Tell us about Killy GA.
Yeah. So I would have been playing away with Killa.
Sorry, am I pronouncing it completely wrong? Is it Killa?
Killa, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's K-I-L-L-E-A-G-H. It's another one of those Irish names. You're like, how am I meant to? But Killa GA.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah. You must be one of the only few people in the country if you haven't heard the song, you know.
You're going to have to sing it for me now, Rory. Yeah. See what you've walked yourself into.
I know.
They're shouting in my ear that it is Kingfisher.
Oh, yeah.
And because Kingfisher Owen Fitz is from Killa. It sounds like this.
Of Glenbower to the river De Soar, from the arms of my mother to the land ever pure, all I have to remember is the pride that I felt round the park in Canada, where the boys never knelt, did go raring and tearing and fighting for love, for the land they call Killa and the Lord up above. Killa la 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 la, for the green and the white I adore.
For
the
I feel like I want to move to Killa myself. I was like, a beautiful place. There's a tear in my eye. What's so special, do you think, about that particular club? I know you're heavily involved with it as well. Still, you do their social media. You're the stats guy. What's so special about it?
When you play a small part now in the team. But yeah, Killa down East Cork, little village, and then 25. And, you know, you form that bond with, you know, when you're on team sport. I suppose that's why team sport is so valuable, and was like kind of the first thing that we looked for, you know, was a new team. That's where the Wheelers came in. But when we were chatting outside, we were saying that, you know, the proverb that takes a village to raise a child, and like, absolutely, you know, like, couldn't have done it. Without, we'd say, you know, it's a couple of villages around East Cork, you know, there was fundraisers done by other clubs as well, and, you know, other communities, and just the fact that people are so tight-knit and, you know, so close together. And I'd say there was weeks at home where my brothers, and, you know, didn't have to cook a meal, people were dropping over dinners, and I think that's just, you know, the Irish thing of, we look out for each other, you know, it's meant to be, you know, on that, the end of all the receiving of it, like, and you really would be forever in debt to everyone who, you know, helped us in any way, you know, big or small. So it's hard to, you know, I suppose have so much gratitude that, you know, I'll never be able to repay, really, like, and no amount of thanks, like, will be able to.
Yeah, but nobody expects you to. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, we do these things as communities because we don't expect anything in return. Or perhaps someday if we need it, then maybe it'll flow our way. You're talking about team sport and the importance of it. And I guess that's something running through your veins because you've moved to the different team now of the Rebel Wheelers, which, of course, is wheelchair basketball.
Yeah,
to us about moving into that sport and what you had to get used to.
Yeah, so the Rebel Wheelers are a fantastic setup down in Cork. So they're a multi-sport club, so they offer a lot more than just wheelchair basketball. You know, there's, like, I suppose I was fortunate growing up, you know, that I had the GA, but, you know, and for other children, you know, if you weren't able to play, let's say, everybody sports, like, the Rebel Wheelers is there for them. And, like, I'd say it was set up maybe 15 years ago, and, you know, I'm only just jumping on the back of it now and be so grateful for that, you know, that it's been there for me, you know, from when I left the National Rehab Hospital and came home, you know, it was there for me. Whereas 15 years ago when they were setting it up and they were trying to encourage kids to come and trying to find, you know, trainers and people to coach. But now there's we could have nearly 15 to 20 people, you know, at basketball training, and I think the rugby is doing great, and there's the Boccia crowd, and, you know, paralytics, and they're Saturday morning club where children between the ages of, I think, 5 to 12 or 5 to 15, you know, train and get, I suppose, you know, it's great that you can feel included in sport again, you know.
And do you talk about your experience with the crash or anything else with your fellow players? Do you find you've got common ground there, or is that something you tend to park, you know, off the court and just get on with playing sport?
I suppose you kind of, no, you're kind of just there to play, you know, sport in a sense. But if you ever did need a hand with, you know, certain things, or, you know, it's nice to know for a lad, like, you know, if I was going to a concert in Dublin, I was like, oh, do you ever stay in this hotel, or do you ever go to that venue? And they're like, oh, I've been there, and they might give you a few tips about that. That, you know, you might find anywhere else, or just certain things, you know, the lads would always be there. But really, we're just like any other, you know, club. We just turn up and we play basketball.
Yeah,
and that's great, you know, because, you know, you don't want to be too, you know, baby leader. You don't want to be, you know, you know, people looking, something, so people on the outside might think that, you know, Rebel Wheelers or wheelchair basketball or even parasport, like, that they're only just having a bit of fun, and it's great to see them having a bit of fun. But in reality, we're just as competitive, you know, and we're pushing just as hard, we're training just as hard, and, you know, as any able-bodied sport, you know, and it's great. So definitely would encourage anyone to look at any, you know, IWA sport online or look up even Paralympics Ireland, you know, it's great to see what people are doing, you know, and it's not just for the fun, it's, I don't know, if you try a sports chair, it's great.
Yeah, I'd say anyone who tried to play it wheelchair basketball within the first 30 seconds would be questioning their decision. Because I'd say the upper body strength, it requires coordination. You're thinking about the movement of the chair, the ball, where everybody is. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. I was blown away at my first session down in Cork, seeing the skill of the lads. And I suppose I'd trained a bit before with another team in Dublin. And, you know, like there's the skill that some lads have in the chair, you know, that takes takes years to learn, you know.
And were you selected to represent Team Ireland?
Yeah, back.
At the 2025 European Para Youth Games.
Yeah, I suppose back in July, I had the privilege of going to Istanbul with a group of lads. So it was great to be part of the team, you know. I was only kind of just there to learn, you know. I won't say that I was the main player on the team at all, because I wasn't, definitely wasn't. I was, you know, was happy to get my few minutes on the team, but there's some lads who have fantastic skill and learning a lot from them. And some of them are from Cork as well. So, you know, it's so much to learn, so much chair skills to learn, so much technical skills to learn. And it's great to have the clubs, you know, and the facilities to do that.
Mm. Do they have a website that people can learn more about them?
Yeah, I suppose you can find them on Instagram or Facebook or the website, just Rebel Wheelers, you know, multi-sport club. So, yeah.
Before we let you go, special mention to your girlfriend, Ruby, who I know has been with you through thick and thin. Yeah. And if we didn't mention her, she may not be your girlfriend after today.
True, yeah. So, yeah, special mention to her and to I suppose, all my family, you know, back in Park, my grandparents. And
yeah.
I suppose anyone, I suppose I have a couple of relations abroad and, you know, so.
I'm sure she found it tough as well in those early days.
Yeah, very tough.
How has she helped you, do you think?
You know, it was definitely very tough for her because she was doing Leaving Cert at the time, and I caused, I suppose, major upset, you know, like I was up in the Dublin hospital, and to be fair to her, she was coming up visiting me when, you know, she, I suppose, probably should have been studying, you know, or she could have been at home. And you know, her birthday then was in the June, and we celebrated that in hospital, you know, and it's not great to ever celebrate anyone's birthday in hospital, you know. I remember she coming in for that, and so she's just, I suppose, always been there for me, right?
So tell us about college. How's that going?
Great. So I just started back there now in the second year. So,
and you're studying
Mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Yeah, in MTU in Cork. So yeah, it's great. College have been great to me, you know. And I suppose it's always been on the cards. You know, I had just had done, I nearly finished my exams on the 15th of May. My crash was the 20th. So I had just done first year, and, you know, so I had to defer the year. I was still in hospital this time last year, so I never got to go back. But I kind of went back in January and did just two part-time courses, and kind of knew then that I'd be able to go back full time in September. So I'm 3 weeks in now, and it's going great.
Are you back driving?
Yeah, back driving.
How were those first few early moments in the car?
Yeah, it was kind of, I didn't think much of it, because it's kind of something that, you know, the goal was when I went to the National Rehab Hospital was to, you know, get back independence in every way. And driving is, you know, is one of the main ways to get there. You know, you definitely need to drive to be able to drive to be independent. So first lesson, I didn't think much of it, but it definitely kind of hit me, like, you know, I've had a few nerves in the second lesson, and but you could just shake it off, and it's great. You know, I have the car now, and it's great. The hand controls are great, and, you know, it's definitely I'd be lost without it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, be relying on other people all the time, or, you know, looking for spins. So it's great to have that, have the car. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your story. I think anybody who is experiencing any kind of adversity in their life is going to get a lot from your conversation. And wishing you all the best with
Thanks for having me on again.
Rebel Wheelers. Yeah. And thanks to your dad, Coleman, for making the trip with you and the rest of the family.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Lovely to talk to you, Rory. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dermot.
Thanks to Rory for chatting to us. Lots of messages coming in, as you'd expect. What a lovely guy, and a real pleasure to meet his dad, Coleman, as well. Just wanted to message to wish Rory the very best on his journey ahead, says one. What an incredible young man, an absolute inspiration to us all. An inspiring young man, a great voice for helping others with life-changing injuries, says Anne in Louth. I'm touched listening to this young man's vulnerability and complete bravery after such a thing in his life. Fair play to him. Up the rebels. Such a humble, brave, exceptionally strong young man. Heartening to hear his positivity and strength. A bright future ahead. I absolutely agree. And another one says, can we please take this opportunity to appeal to able-bodied drivers not to park in disabled bays, not even for just a minute, not even to drop someone off or nip into the shop. We can't just hop out of our cars, throw the wheelchair together to nip over to ask you to move. And that's a point well made. 51551.